Talk about the Lakers. No, no.
I mean, it's on the disappointing list.
I mean, yeah, it's a disappointing.
It's low hanging fruit. The Lakers are, man. Like, at some point, like, it's kicking a bad dog when it's down. Like, an old dog when it's down.
I wouldn't even say that, man. I've seen this before. I don't care. I just don't care. I just don't care.
You got the same example I got, I hope.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
What's good, family? Welcome to a Minor Hoops podcast, a show with the freshest opinions and views on the world's most beautiful game. I'm your host, Greg, and I'm here with the homies, the squad. TK, Brian, Dunkman Keith is not here, but shout out to the homie in his absence. Welcome back, y'all, 2022.
Let's get it.
Man, it's been a while.
It's been a long, long time. The last time we did a pod, it was mid-November. That pod was primarily based on what's wrong with Russ. Some things don't change. Shout out to my guy Russ. I love Russ. I'm
big
a Russ fan,
Russ.
Bro.
You know what? I'm actually gonna give him a little bit. He's been playing better.
Okay. He's been playing better.
What?
and we had this conversation. We'll get into it when we get in the most surprising, disappointing, and all that in the third. But we had this conversation a little bit during the Christmas Day slate, and we were watching the games. And he was like, Brian was like, yo, what's wrong? Who you blaming on now? Like, what's wrong with the Lakers? I said, let's keep it a buck. Like, Russ is being everything Russ is right now. Like, triple-double, six turnovers. We're happy if it's four. Like, that's what we look for out of this guy. Cool. The guy who's not showing up, the guy who's probably the biggest disappointment for me.
The guy who is not in uniform.
Street clothes.
Street clothes.
Like, and when he is on the court.
Mm-hmm, Mr. End of the Bench.
Like, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of how he's showing up. Or how, or
Mr. I don't want to play the five.
So, I mean, that's been the thing. But we get into it. We're definitely going to get into all that. It's 2022. Y'all want to say where y'all been, what y'all been doing, or y'all want to just get going?
We can get going. I've been doing nothing but enjoying a break.
We all doing the same thing since 2021.
Just been coaching, man, in the middle of the season. Shout out to my Carmel school, man. We on fire. Not really, but we going to get there.
The honesty.
Your man's going to listen to the pod.
And I know he is. Like, he going to say the same thing.
He'd be like, fair. Nah,
hey,
whoa, real.
Real recognize real. Hey, what's the saying? You are what your record says you are. Like, we working, though. We in a good spot. Like, okay. So I'm happy with what we've gone against. We've learned from it.
We
now
can lie
to
everybody. You can't lie to yourself. You can't lie to yourself.
I can't lie when they can look up the record. Like, what am I supposed to say?
We can.
That's a Google search.
It's a quick Google. B is lying. That team trash.
Check back at the end of January. That's all I'm gonna say.
Fair.
Team is garbage. All right, man. Let's get to it. First things first, MVP, man. So we've missed a lot in terms of with y'all, but we've been keeping up with the league. We've been doing our best watching games. Y'all been peeping some of the in and outs. Appreciate y'all who's watching those. And one thing we haven't really talked about is the MVP race. And it started off as the two-man type thing, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, like, yeah. For the most part, but I think it's getting a little more dicey.
A little bit.
You know, a little bit. Some dark horses here and there. And so NBA.com has been doing these, I guess, monthly MVP ladder races. And according to NBA.com, they have 1 through 4 right in front of me. Giannis at 1, KD at 2, Steph Curry at 3, Nikola Jokic at 4. I don't got a problem with any of these guys on this list.
I mean, I think these are four guys who are up for an MVP this year. They're playing these are MVP-like seasons than any other season. They'll probably be front runners, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
That being said, I think the two names that I'm still going to expect one of them to hold the trophy is Kevin Durant or Steph Curry. Mainly because, like, KD was able until last night, when we'll get to the guy who got the Bulls to the number one seed in the East.
Yep.
But until last night, KD had the Nets as number one seed with James Harden struggling early in the season, no Kyrie, and 1,000 different swap out players.
Right.
And so it was just like, yo, big up, big respect. And then what Steph Curry has been doing is what I predicted Steph Curry to be doing like the last couple of seasons, but injuries. It's just facts. What we expect, but it's Steph and it's MVP. It's no hold back. Now what Jokic has been doing hasn't been getting as much credit or recognition as I thought it was going to get. Maybe it's because he's fresh off an MVP season last year, and you know how it is with voters fatigue or, like, just even anybody wondering about who's going to win MVP. But he's so special this year, man.
I don't think that's the case for Jokic. And I think more like, isn't he like leading in like almost every advanced
if you're trying to break down a single stat, he's
every advanced stat, like he's leading it. And I think it's just because they're not winning games. Like,
I mean, they're above 500. They're the fifth seed right now.
They're not
in the
a
West.
Bad place.
Like,
so,
but the other three in front of them is Giannis. So I think they're the third seed right now. Mm-hmm. And then Steph has been teetering on that 1-2 with Golden State between Phoenix. So for pretty much the entire season. So that's really been that. And then, of course, Steph Curry's breaking records. KD is out here dropping 50 on, like,
the most
shots.
Efficient,
like,
the
I'm
most
like,
efficient
like,
man on the planet.
Really, and Giannis, really, Giannis is in his prime, and he's
mind you, a lot of these games were out too early in the year, too, because
Middleton.
Yeah, they were out.
Still don't have Brooke Lopez.
It's a big shout-out to Giannis because he had to play with a lot of different lineups as well. And mind you, Jokic is still doing this without Jamal Murray.
Or Michael Porter Jr.
This entire, all four of these guys, I could make a really strong case for, and I won't look anybody in their face and be like, you're wrong about who you pick so far in these first, like, 33 games or whatever. Yeah. But I still lean more towards KD and Steph. But, like, Jokic is just, like, I can't get mad if he wins it this year. And I understand Giannis.
Yeah, because Giannis' numbers really hasn't changed. Like, Giannis' MVP numbers are the same.
He's going to do that. That's Giannis. It's the same. It's, like, kind of Bron-ish. Bron's going to do that.
I mean, that's any superstar, though. Like, those numbers are just Steph numbers. Like, 28, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. That's Steph numbers every year.
KD flirts with 30. Yeah.
8 rebounds, 4, 5, 6 assists. Like, this is what a superstar does.
Yep.
Now it's a question of narrative, where you are in the standings, and a whole bunch of other things. So, all these guys are having MVP caliber seasons.
All right, so who's missing?
DeMar
would be the one.
Not LeBron James.
Oh yeah, no. Even before like the last couple of nights heroics before DeMar, I thought about DeMar.
What did they have LeBron on this list?
He wouldn't be super high on this list. DeMar, I love him to death, but because he has a running mate who's consistently there in Zach LaVine.
All right, James Harden is starting to put a 30-point triple-double.
He's starting to.
But if he does it for the rest of the season, does KD drop?
Who knows? Yeah, probably, maybe.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
No,
that's all
talk
I'm
about narrative and
that's
stuff
all I'm
like
asking.
This.
That's all I'm asking.
KD numbers probably won't change. That's Kyrie's coming back. Like, when Klay comes back, if Klay comes back and he's Klay,
yeah,
it's stuff that's going to look different. Like, when Drew comes back and Middleton is in
rotation. Drew and Middleton are back now.
Well, yeah, they're back now. Like, for like, yeah.
They're back.
They got back. Did they get back for that Christmas Day game?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will say that's
they've been back for about 2 weeks.
2 weeks,
now.
Yeah, about 2-3 weeks. Yeah,
they've been getting their legs under them. They've been playing.
I'm so glad to see Drew Holiday because he got hurt early in the season.
He got hurt when he was looking good too. Like it was that Brooklyn game when he was lighting them up.
Okay, so five, and I mean I guess these are the dark horses on this list is Rudy Gobert at 5.
No,
Chris Paul at 6.
Respect.
James Harden at 7. DeMar DeRozan at 8, and Embiid at 9. LaVine at 10.
That's what I mean. Like, people are going to battle the fact that DeMar and LaVine are having such productive seasons.
Collectively.
Yeah.
Like,
but I'm not taking it away. DeMar has been the better of the two
DeMar
this season.
DeMar and Embiid should be 5 and 6.
But Embiid, I was about to say, that's the name that I do love. But everybody else, Chris Paul shouldn't be on that list, to be honest. Rudy Gobert, I don't care, bro. I don't care. I don't think I'm going to be sold on it. What answer?
No, Quint Snyder definitely tried the Rudy Gobert campaign last night because before the Warriors game, he was like, Draymond is so important to Golden State. He could be the MVP.
Yeah, I heard that.
And it was like, you're that. Saying that to make it sound better for Rudy Gobert. Yeah. Like, let's not be smart.
I ain't mad at it.
I'm a little mad at it.
I would have sold my man like that, too.
There was better ways. One, there was better ways you could have sold your man. Two, it's just not happening. It's not happening, man. Unless you talk over 30 game win streak.
I don't want to hear no crying for all-stars or crying for MVPs. We're not doing that.
No, he's an all-star. Rudy Gobert's an all-star.
Rudy Gobert is definitely getting
But there
all-star.
Was a time where he had to cry for one.
No,
that's
for
I'm
sure.
Saying.
No, I agree with that.
And I don't want this to turn into that.
No.
Granted, that year he you know, got emotional over one. I honestly thought he had a decent shot.
No, he definitely deserved it.
Yeah. It's respect. But, yeah, you're no MVP this year. Or next year. Or the year
or any year.
Or, yeah, I was about to say, year. Yeah. Or I was trying to be nice, but, yeah, we're going to be direct. Let's be direct. Year.
I mean, he's a good ball player.
He's a great ball player.
He's a good ball player.
One of the best rim protectors of all time. Yeah.
No, he's a great ball player.
He's a really good player.
Yeah.
Really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
But yeah,
that's the nicest thing to say about Rudy Gobert generally, though. Yeah, no disrespect. He just wants more than what people are going to give him.
Right. and I don't want to turn this into a hate.
Yeah, I'm not slandering you.
I could easily do that, like, but I'm not gonna. So DeMar DeRozan's a guy that should be mentioned, and rightfully so. He's coming off two back-to-back games with two
trays. Who said DeMar don't shoot trays?
Everybody said game-winning
trays.
Let's not act like that was a it was a thing. He didn't shoot threes.
He didn't shoot trays
this year. He's shooting 37% from three this year. Like, wild.
He hit
wild.
Yeah, it is actually is wild. It's so wild.
He's having a great year.
I love it, though.
I'm all for it. I'm happy he's I'm not even going to say reinventing himself. He's just finally just embracing it.
He moved back east, and he's able. He got empowered.
Like, he's happy where he's at. He's in a good system. Mm-hmm. Shout out to him. He's balling his tail off.
Yeah. Who said this was the worst signing this season?
The Bleacher Report, ESPN, a lot of people said it was the worst signing.
I love that signing, yo. I favored the Bulls.
I didn't think it was horrible, but I was on the fence about it just because I didn't know if DeMar could reach this level again.
That's fair.
He did this once before in Toronto.
Yeah, but that was years ago.
And that was years ago.
You
got to
see it again.
So now I'm seeing it. I'm just like, oh, this is cool. Now, Greg brought up a point about a week ago. He said,
yeah.
It feels like people are setting up DeMar
for a failure.
Yeah.
And I hope that's not. I hope he balls out in the playoffs.
He has to ball out in the playoffs.
Like, I hope he does. I think he is.
They're going to crucify him.
I think he is.
They're going to crucify him.
Bron's not in the East.
But KD and Giannis is.
Like, I just want him to play well. I don't need him to win.
I really saw taking DeMar's soul, like, year after year was Bron. So maybe he was just Bron. And I get it, the talent level, like, there's a Giannis. There's a KD. But sometimes it's a mental aspect that plays into it, too. And
I agree there is a mental aspect, but then there's also things called PTSD. And those two, if anything, can cause it on both sides. Like,
fair.
We talk about both 6'9 footers. They're footers shooting, like dunking, pushing people over. Like,
so much fear. Fear in your heart. When you...
Like, so I'm not saying that, you know, he can't bounce back in the playoffs, and I would love to see it. Like,
I'm banking on him too.
I like what Chicago is doing. And they're still playing great basketball. Billy Donovan's been out. Yeah. Ball's been out.
Yeah.
They lost
Caruso's out now.
Caruso's out. They lost the man for the year. Patrick Williams. Like,
just they keep on charking.
They keep on finding ways to win games. And LaVine, we don't talk about it. LaVine's an all-star. Like, this is exactly what we wanted out of him this year. So he's an all-star. He's a 30-point guy. Like,
any given night, he can give you 30.
Like, this is what we wanted from them.
Sharpshooter. Letting them go from the tray.
So I'm highly impressed with them, but man, the playoffs is a whole different beast. And
you know what I think? I think the Bulls got to this level of recognition maybe a year or so too soon. I thought they were going to be good, to be honest. I thought they were going to be really good, but this era, I see what y'all mean by setting them up for failure.
Yeah.
Now it's like, all right, like if y'all lose, y'all got to lose in a spectacular fashion now. Y'all can't just go up against the Nets and get gentlemen swept. Like, that's how people are going to look at it. But I don't know. Like, I love what this team has done. I'm banking on DeMar DeRozan still being able to show up in the playoffs. Zach LaVine has incredible heart, and I don't really see him backing down from anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso. I think they just got a show of guys who's willing to go and battle out with everybody. It seems like the chemistry is really nice, so I don't think they fold in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to, like, far, but I wouldn't consider them losing, depending on who the matchup is, as a fold. Like, you know, DeMar's going to get his 25, or, you know, Zach LaVine's going to do the same.
I would say the only team that are a really bad matchup for them is Milwaukee and maybe a healthy Miami. I don't think Brooklyn's necessarily a horrible matchup for them.
I was just throwing out names at the top.
Like, yeah, I know. But I'm just talking, like, Brooklyn's more talented, don't get me wrong. But as far as, like, a bad matchup, like, no, Brooklyn's defense would not really be able to do anything with Zach LaVine and DeMar. They had no answer for Vucevic.
I mean, Brooklyn's going to do what Brooklyn always did. Hey, when our big three's back, let's see if you can outscore us.
Exactly. So, but I think Zach LaVine and DeMar would, like, actually welcome that type of challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
they were losing that series, but it would be an exciting series. It would be so exciting to see that, yeah.
And it would just come – and truth be told –
133-127.
Truth be told – Chicago has more people that can guard Brooklyn than Brooklyn has that can guard Chicago.
I don't want to hear about all that. That'll be I'm not going to speculate.
Lonzo Caruso is one of the best defensive tandems.
I'm not
going to
speculate
a
healthy Brooklyn matchup and a healthy Chicago matchup. I'll just take my money on the Nets and leave it at that.
That's fair.
If you're putting your money on the Bulls, you could say that, but I'm not going to say that.
I didn't say I was putting my money. I'm saying
I think that's
and I'm you. Saying I'm not even going to entertain
Tamon the said,
idea.
Cut to the chase, dog. Yeah. He said, cut to the chase. I'm not either you put your money on him or not.
I think the series would be,
I'm not even entertaining
I think the series
the
would be a lot closer than people expect.
Oh, yeah, I think it might go six. But like,
it wouldn't shock me if it went seven.
He said, cut to the
it
chase.
It would just shock me if the Nets lost. And I
he said, yes or no. Who you got winning that series? Yes or no?
I mean, hey, that's is what it is, but
I don't know. All the all
wouldn't
the
shock me.
I heard
Brooklyn
about,
ain't
like,
beat Chicago yet this year.
About the Nets last year and about, oh, the Nets in the playoffs and et cetera. As soon as we got there, everything that I said was going to happen happened and then injuries happened. So right now I'm sitting pretty and just waiting for it to happen again.
Okay.
All right. Most surprising slash disappointing players and teams. We got into one so far, which was Chicago, but there's more out here. And I'm just going to get to it. Cleveland.
Shout out Cleveland.
And look,
your favorite place.
Look, y'all. Look. Shout out to my guy. I work with a guy. He lives in Cleveland now. And I remember, like, and like we were in a meeting, and I said, no one wants to live in Cleveland. And I forgot, like, he lived in Cleveland.
Joking. He probably agree with you.
No, he likes it there. He likes it there. And but, man, this team is so surprising to me, and they're so surprisingly good.
Really sad about the Ricky Rubio.
Really sad about
like,
the Ricky
really
Rubio thing.
Loved that, watching that's the hoop this
hurt.
Year. They traded for Rondo. For what that means. I understand them trying to replace that Ricky Rubio role. Definitely. Yeah, it was a perfect pickup for trying to replace that role. But Ricky Rubio was
and
balling.
I told,
he was balling.
And
this
I told
year,
B, I said some of the things that they did didn't make sense. But one of the things that did make sense to me was the Ricky Rubio signing, bringing in Rubio. Because I'm like, he's actually been very productive everywhere he went.
Yeah.
And he provides a level of stability in all those situations where they're not necessarily the best team, but you could feel his presence on the court.
No,
just a calming guy, a calming presence for a team. And so seeing him.
He's a great point guard.
Seeing him do that and seeing the elevation of guys like Darius Garland in those moments, you're like, okay.
Evan Mobley
is the truth.
Looking like he's trying to sneak that. Well, not sneak, but get that rookie of the year.
They're really out here playing three bigs. Like,
yeah, it's. It's interesting.
They're playing three bigs.
Lord. It works we joked about it.
Yeah. But it's like, working. Maybe Bickerstaff is doing it.
Would, though. Every
with
move,
Kevin Love yeah. coming off the bench. Like
it's, he's bought into it. Shout out to that, too. Big shout out to Kevin Love. I love seeing Kevin Love look happy on the court.
Hey, man.
After that, like, one or two seasons where
Kevin
like
Love
he's
was just like, hey,
hell,
man, just give me competent people
to play basketball.
And I can't even get mad at that, yeah. You go from Hall of Fame stature type talent to – you know, championship aspirations with the Cleveland Cavaliers to being the only one there and you're hooping with – he hooped with a lot of people. I can't.
Facts.
Facts. Yeah, I can see his frustration. So but so happy for him and so happy for Cleveland.
But, yeah, this team is really, really good. I don't know what they're going to do in the playoffs. This may be a quick gentleman sweep type team.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
it doesn't
– get into the playoffs.
But it doesn't
– that's a big – that's a big
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
That's a
applause.
Big one.
Even
applause.
If they don't. Even if they don't.
And
shout out them.
And like, it's time. It's time. Y'all got your guy. Trade like, the other one.
They got Darius Garland.
Get
like
Colin
says,
out of
Colin's got to go.
Yeah, it seemed like Colin got
Isaac Okoro's actually taking another step forward, showing he's a real legit 3-and-D guy. This team is solid, man. That's all I'm going to say about it. I don't think they have their superstar yet.
I think they do.
I don't know if Mobley is.
That dude looks like KG.
He does, and it's scary.
He looks like
I gotta
KG
see more
to me.
Offensive skill still.
I see what you mean. This is rookie year, man.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's
why
I said I don't know if they have it yet.
I see both sides.
I said I don't know if they have it
yet. When he said KG, I was like, hey, man, that's a pretty name to throw, and I see what you mean, but it's still rookie year.
I see the same thing.
But I see it, though. I see it.
Of course, like, it's not all there yet. Of course, like, KG was special even on, like, his first season then.
Baby KG. This is like Gerber KG.
Yeah, but, man, like, he's made some plays, some agile plays where I was like, ooh.
He's way more fluid than I thought he was going to be.
Ooh.
And I'm not saying he's fluid like how these 6'9 wings.
He's not KD.
Yeah, but he's.
But he can get around.
I'm like, yo, like, you can sneak him out on the wing. That's how they're playing three bigs.
They're playing. He's spotting up. He's spotting up in corners and stuff. And then next thing you know, he's like, all right, I got a baby on me. Fade. Boom. I'm like, bro, all right.
This ain't going to work forever, but this is really entertaining to watch.
Fact. So I'm enjoying what I'm seeing out of him. I think he is the guy. I think he's just going to take
a little bit
of time. I think they need one more piece. And they may find another.
We'll see what they fill out when they get rid of. Assuming they keep Darius and move Colin.
Right, and I think that's
gonna happen.
I think that's what the thought process
is.
Yeah,
I'll put my money on that happening. I would be shocked if they kept Colin at this.
But
point.
The reason why I say he's a superstar, it goes back to what you kind of said too. It was during Christmas Day, we was watching the game, and you had said, Cleveland, Evan Mobley made Cleveland too good too fast. Yeah. That's what superstars do.
Yeah.
That's true. Superstars come in.
Pull you out the lotto.
Superstars pull you out the lotto even when you didn't want to be out of it. Like, you, out of nowhere.
They weren't playing into. They just came in like
we were expecting another guy. Yeah. But no.
We expected two more lottos out of Cleveland, to be honest.
They probably were like, hey, we'll get Mobley. We'll have Garland. Like I said, even Sexton maybe for another year. And we'll have one more year where we're top five in the draft. We'll get Banchero.
Yep.
Somebody else. And then it'll kind of start to sort itself out. But now it's
like, nah.
But now it's, oh no, we're a playoff team. So now we got to start working on the margins. We got to start looking at late lottery, not even late lottery picks. You got to look at late 20s. Like,
I hope Cleveland doesn't shoot themselves in the foot, though.
And that's normally what ends up happening.
And that's what I was going to bank on happening, but I hope it doesn't. Because it throws, in my opinion, it throws the like progression of the players that were actually producing on the court off by so much.
So just to segue that, like, another team that's kind of in that, I'm not going to say no man's land yet, but that's kind of in a very fickle spot, is Memphis. You have this guy, Ja Morant, who's literally he's ascended to superstar status.
He's going
to
be all-star.
He's taking you
year.
Out of the lottery.
Yeah. Yep.
But y'all don't have
you still don't have everything you need. Now, Desmond Bain has been a very welcome surprise. He's turned himself into a 17, 18-point scorer. Dylan Brooks is an 18, 19-point scorer. Like, all that's well and good. Do you still believe, even if they hit their peak, they're a championship team?
Nah, but shouldn't Jaren Jackson have been a little bit – or do we expect him to be a little bit better than what he was?
Like, and I think that's what they think.
Hits, yeah.
But he's not –
I don't think he's going to.
He's not ascending
there. But I'm saying,
there.
Like, yeah, that's what's kind of what the drawback.
And that's the issue.
He's just not – I'm not saying he's not improving. I think he had a slow start. I think he had injuries early in the season. Had a slow start. Since then, he's been himself – and which is about, 18, 20 points, six boards, five boards,
I'm about to look it up.
Something like that. Like, so he's been himself for the most part. He's improving. You can see, like, in his play, he's improving. Production's pretty much the same. But he's just not improving at the same rate as Ja. And so that's why, like, you put him side by side. It's like, oh, shoot, he's taking off.
Because Jaren got there first, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But to the point about Jaren, too, even about the numbers he may get, like, I watched a couple of these Grizzlies games because, like, huge Ja Morant fans, we all are. Like, yeah. And I love watching the Grizzlies play, to be honest, even when Ja was out. But the way Jaren gets his, it doesn't feel impactful a lot of the times.
It doesn't.
Mm. And, like, that's no disrespect or anything like that. It's just, like, to be completely honest, like,
kind of empty calorie.
Dylan Brooks' effects on the game feels so much more weighted than Jaren Jackson's when I'm just watching the game. And I can't sit here and just dismiss Jaren Jackson's impact because, you know, there's probably some stuff behind closed doors that I don't know about. But, like, when watching the game and watching the field, I'm just like, it's like Andre Drummond-ish, but not to that extent. Like, Andre Drummond can get 30 and lose.
But that's the thing. Like, even Andre Drummond will give you numbers. Like, Jaren doesn't even really give you numbers like that.
It's just regular.
And it's very – he has a unicorn-type skill set where he's like a 6'11 big who shoots it, but he's not really still shooting it super well.
Yeah.
He should be, and this is what everybody thought he was going to be, was this great rim protector, but he hasn't really figured that out yet. He's not rebounding particularly – like, I don't know what his calling card yet is in the NBA. He looks like this guy who should be able to do everything, but isn't doing everything really well or anything really well.
Nah, man. He reminds me of, like, if Porzingis didn't figure it out.
Exactly. That was literally where I was about to go, and that's what it feels like. And that's a scary notion because that's supposed to be your number two. Because
Porzingis figured it out before everybody thought he would.
Like, he's supposed to be your number two. So if that's not your number two, now it's Desmond Bane and Dylan Brooks. As good as both of those guys have
played,
you're
gonna flirt with the 7th seed, 6th seed every year.
Yep.
Oh, you're gonna be the Atlanta Hawks of the West.
Fair.
Where every year you're just a really good team.
Yeah,
who,
you might make the playoffs one year.
You'll be
you
a 4 seed.
One year if
you'll
have too many injuries.
Like I said, this year they're the 3 seed right now, but you have no fear of them beating Golden
anybody.
State
yeah,
or
anybody,
Phoenix.
Really.
Like, no fear. And that's a tough situation.
They can lose that
3-6
matchup depending on who six is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
like, if that was the Lakers, I might.
Yeah, if the Lakers got it together.
If the Lakers get healthy.
And the Lakers are probably going to fall to a 6-8 seed.
So.
Yeah.
Because it don't seem like they're going to get it together anytime soon.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. So, you mentioned Memphis. So, you shout out to Desmond Bane, who's also a surprise, man.
I actually liked him in the draft last year.
Disappointment. You want to get into your guy?
Gary Payton?
Yeah.
Man, that guy's a hooper, bro. Yeah,
I'm so glad he found a spot in the league.
Man, I'm so happy he found a spot in the league that was actually willing to work around his talent. Like, a lot of teams he would have went to would have literally just they wouldn't know what to do with
almost
them.
All other teams.
Like,
almost,
like 98% of teams.
Or somebody who's willing to actually invest in you.
I can
like
only,
that.
I think I'm going to name four that would actually.
And no more than five.
I would name
maybe
four.
Figure it out.
Miami.
Yep.
San Antonio.
Maybe.
Golden State, which, and that might be it.
That might be it. That
might be it.
Maybe the Clippers. Tyronn Lue's doing a great job.
I like Lue. Toronto, but Toronto's packed right now.
Exactly.
So.
Like,
Toronto, good
they
call.
They have the organization to do it, but they're packed right now.
And, like, I'm sorry. Maybe, I know we're not really going to talk about Golden State a lot today, but what Gary Payton Jr. Is doing should be scaring the league.
Is there two – all right, I got a question. Are there What's two up? Gary Paytons?
No.
Or did I just get fooled online? The Gary has does he has two sons named Gary?
No. Gary Payton the second is essentially Gary Payton Jr.
Okay, they just swap it all the
time.
Yeah,
you can swap the second with the junior.
All right, man. I was like, man, what
take,
is
take it from the junior. All
right.
So
y'all gotta pick one and choose. I'm like, yo, because you know there's like you got Pete Miller, he has a Percy, Hersey, Mercy.
Yeah,
no, on some real. So like in my head, I'm like,
wow.
Does he have one son in the NBA and another one in college?
Got?
And they both, you said what?
Yeah, how many GPs?
Yeah,
got?
I'm like, I ain't mad.
It's Gary Payton the Pops, Hall of Fame,
yeah,
the Gloves.
Gary Payton Sr.
And then we got Gary Payton the second. All right,
just make sure. Just make sure there wasn't like.
Gary Payton the second, Gary Payton Jr. the same person.
He ain't have another twin with the same name and they were just out here.
Not that.
Morris twinning it up.
Yeah.
All right,
so there's no Percy, Hersey, and Mercy. I got you.
Facts. And, but yeah, Golden State, Gary Payton, what he's doing in the league is very, very scary. And why is that, B?
Because more so just on the Golden State front, like Golden State is without a doubt the deepest team in the league. Like that's not a question. There's no if, and, buts about it. But having guys like Gary Payton Jr., Otto Porter Jr., like these guys coming off the bench for them.
It's amazing.
Without Klay Thompson inserted into the lineup should literally scare everybody in the league. Because
I think it does.
I don't think it scares people the way it should because it literally gives them the things they didn't have even in that first go around before Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Like Gary Payton Jr. gives them one of the most athletic backup guards in the league without question. It's kind of like what Shannon Brown was to that first early Lakers run where, or I'll say the second Lakers run with Kobe and the second Pau Gasol.
I know what
that
you
team.
Mean. Yeah.
But having a guy off your bench who literally just comes in and just is like the best athlete on the floor 90% of the time. It's such a game changer. Having a guy like Otto Porter Jr., who's a 6'8", 6'9", wing, who can come in.
Went from a max to a vet man, right? That's
max to a vet man, who's now playing like a max player again. Like a 40% shooter, can guard multiple positions, is rebounding.
Shout out Otto Porter, yo.
Like having these guys off your bench, and now you're about to put Jordan Poole on that same bench.
When Klay comes back,
When Klay comes back.
And you still
not including Wiseman.
I was about to say, we haven't mentioned Wiseman.
Also.
Shout out Kuminga, too.
Shout out Kuminga.
Hey, man, Kuminga. I told y'all. You
the first Warrior.
Like that.
You're
that.
Right. Shut up. Anyway.
Wait, what time you guys speak a little slower for the, speak a little slower for the people.
You were right.
Thank you. All right. 2022, baby.
I'm feeling it, Greg. I'm feeling it.
They still should have traded the Moses Moody pick. But anyway. All that being said, the one thing that team lacked in 2015, 2016, I always said, was two things. It was a second shot creator next to Steph Curry, because I still don't think Klay Thompson was a second on-ball creator like that. And they didn't have top-end athleticism. Their best athlete was probably Iguodala, maybe Harrison Barnes. They now have that. Kuminga, Payton give you top-end athleticism.
Wiseman.
Andrew Wiggins gives you top-end athleticism.
Yeah.
You now have a secondary on-ball creator, Jordan Poole. You have other sharpshooters in Otto Porter. Damian Lee, even to an extent, is a decent shooter off the bench. Like
Belly on a going
Belly
right night.
He's one of the best shooters in the league right now.
Yeah.
Like, this team doesn't have a weakness other than, you could say, size. And they're kind of like, we don't care.
Who cares?
We don't care. We don't need it. That's their one weakness. And so far, every team that is trying to exploit that loses.
Nowadays, you can't.
I mean, you can, but the guy.
It's
the,
only like,
it has to be Jokic.
It has to be Jokic. It has to be Giannis. It has to be.
I don't even think Giannis would do it.
Like, I just think
it has to be one of those.
Superstar bigs.
It has to be one of those.
Exactly.
But all those guys are in the East.
All those guys are in the East. Stuff like that,
But I think I still think it has to be somebody like Jokic who literally can actually facilitate the offense from where he's at. Embiid.
They'll live with Embiid on Draymond. They're like, one-on-one, we'll live with the results. Embiid's going to have to get 50 tonight.
Yeah. And Jokic, you can get 38 actually, and lose that game. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, Jokic, oh, well, we know Jokic is a triple-double guy. Like, he can get it. He can face up. Mm-hmm. He can facilitate the offense. He's going to get a triple-double. Like, you can't game plan for Jokic.
Right.
So, that's why it literally had to be somebody like Jokic or a Giannis to a lesser extent because he's a downhill guy, draws double teams, kicks. Like, I don't think Embiid would really scare Golden State at all.
I would love to see – and I'm only bringing up this name not because I think he's super elite or anything, because I saw his production in his first playoffs last year. DeAndre Ayton, the way he played the five last year, yeah, I'm just interested to see if I can get a Golden State Suns matchup. Now, I don't think he's going to be the game changer.
It ain't it.
And I think Golden State probably still win that in
six.
I say six.
I'm about to say six.
I give it six.
I'm not betting against the Suns like that no more. I just saw D-Book go 40 in the playoffs, in the finals twice. Like, he's up for the big moment. He dropped, like, what, 47 against that Lakers team when he was ready to put them out. Chris Paul is still going to be one of the best. He's one of the best point guards of all time and still one of the best point guards in the league today. If DeAndre Ayton is still putting up that 18 and 10 from last year, that series gets interesting. I'm trying to
say, he put that up against Golden State every time he's played them. And it doesn't matter. He
still gets interested in the playoffs, too.
Like, Golden State doesn't care.
I still think they're going to win that. Yeah, there's one of the moments where, like, hey, you still going to bet on Golden State? Yeah. I like DeAndre Ayton.
I feel you.
Golden State is everything that I ain't gonna say is everything I expected, because there's certain guys that are just playing too well from my understanding. Like, Andrew Wiggins right now is
shooting 43%.
Is a fringe all-star player. Like, he's a fringe all-star player. The only reason why it's fringe is because voting, like, not because of play.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with play. It has everything to do with voting and how the system works. Gary Payton II, I mean, he was just out there floating in G League.
Yeah.
They made a decision on Avery Bradley.
They cut him. The league let him get waived all the way through. Every team in the league could have picked him up, and they let him go back to Golden State.
So, then you have that. You mentioned Otto Porter. And then, once again, Klay is working out right now. We all seen the clips. He's knocking down 53s at a time. He's running fives with the starters.
I'm not worried about Klay or his play. I'm just worried about if Klay's going to be on the floor or not.
Klay,
and it's not like saying Klay's injury prone. I just got to see him play again.
Klay's going to play, and Klay's not going to have to play defense. All he has to do is get open, knock down threes.
All he has to do is take pressure off Steph.
Get open, knock down threes.
75% of what he was.
He doesn't have to play defense anymore.
The mere presence of Klay Thompson. Do people not understand what teams are doing to Steph Curry to stop him from scoring?
I mean, they're doing everything. He's still getting 30.
He's still, like, but that's the scary part, right? You're throwing three bodies at him. You're still face guarding him. He's still giving you 30.
Now you can't.
Now you can't do that.
Yeah.
It's Klay Thompson in the corner.
I think the whole league understands what's going to happen when Klay comes back on that floor. I think we're just all holding our breath, waiting for Klay to take those first steps back on that floor. And I think it's because it's a couple weeks away, like maybe a week or two away. Yeah,
we're super anxious.
Oh, no.
Because he said he wants the next home game, I think.
It looks like January 9th is the day against Cleveland.
Yeah, I think he said he wants the next home game.
January 9th is looking like the day.
Beautiful.
So we're all anxious. We're all, like, really, really excited to see it because we all know what he's been through. And, like, I was watching a video about, like, Klay being probably the most durable player in the league during the span he was in the league. Like, since he entered the league to the time of his injury, he's probably the most durable player out of everyone.
Yeah, one of them.
Regular season and playoff as well. So just him being out this long and knowing what he has gone through to get back, I'm excited. I'm just really excited for him. Man. Really excited for him. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not even a Golden State fan. But when guys like that who has been nothing but a gift to the game, as opposed
to, it's hard not to root for them.
Hard not to root for them.
Yeah. Facts. It's gonna be a great day when he comes back. Like I said, you know the energy in that arena is going to be through the roof.
I'm just hoping he doesn't throw that first three, like, over the backboard or something. I can only imagine, how he feels.
Bro, if he catches that first one and it touches nothing,
he might go for 40. Knowing Klay, he still might have that in him, that random spark.
He's
going to be on a minutes restriction. So
if he managed to get, like, 21 points in, like, 15 minutes off seven threes, the league's going to be on fire.
That's the sick part about him. No matter what numbers you throw out in minute restrictions or whatever, you're like, he could theoretically. When you saw him go for 60 off of, like, zero dribbles.
Like, man,
It's gonna be fun, man.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It's gonna be fun. This is what we've been waiting for. For anyone who's like been asking us about like between the pandemic and injuries and all that in the third. We've been asking for a season kind of like this.
This is the closest one we're gonna get. Kawhi's out, but like this is the closest we've gonna get.
And shout out to Clips because PG just two weeks ago hurt his elbow.
Yeah, he's out for about 3 weeks.
And he was having
A great season.
He was having a great season.
Yeah.
So shout out to the Clips. I don't want to leave them out. I don't want to leave them out of the conversations.
Shout out Brandon Boston Jr. We're gonna shout out the Clips.
Like I said, I wish the Clippers were healthy. I wish Denver was healthy.
Same.
Jamal Murray, I would love to have back.
Like, those are two teams I'm like, and Jamal Murray should be back.
But after the All-Star Michael break. Porter Jr. is not coming back.
Michael Porter Jr. is not coming back.
But, yeah, those are two teams I really wish were healthy because I think both of those would be really exciting matchups for everybody. The Clippers are one of the few teams I'm like, if they were actually really healthy, they could knock off the Warriors. They have the right personnel to really knock off Golden State.
They could bother them, like, really bad, yeah.
Man, Kawhi and PG, hey, I ain't the biggest Kawhi fan, but even I got to say, that's a bad matchup for Golden State.
But I still take Golden State.
I feel you.
any other ones we want to hit on disappointing? We got Zion.
We haven't really said disappointments yet. We was just...
No, I'm going to say, yeah, Zion is just Zion at this point. We all know what's up with that.
Yeah, he's... I don't think
Portland
Trail
Trailblazers, we said they plateaued. Like, we know what's up with that. Like,
Atlanta Hawks, they plateaued, though. They're bad.
Well, like, yeah, but, like, in my head, it's like, if you're going to be at this level for how many years without significant changes, this is going to happen eventually.
Fact.
So, that's like, fair. That's what I meant by plateau. It's like...
That's fair.
You keep running into the ceiling.
And then everybody's going to figure it all out now, so.
Yeah. Indiana Pacers are probably my biggest disappointment because I think I had them somewhere in the 5-6 range going into this season. But they're going to blow it up.
Yeah, they're talking about blowing it up. Yeah, Caris LeVert's on the block. Turner's on the block.
Yeah, Sabonis.
Sabonis. Like, I want Brogdon to get out of there, but. Yeah. Yeah, they're in a tough spot either way.
Yeah.
The funny part was a rumor came out. It was like, yeah, the GM wanted to blow it up last year, and they didn't let him.
Oh, man.
So he got stuck. So now they finally admitted, like, yeah, we probably should let you do that.
It had to, because if you asked me to blow it up now, you're like, the first thing I'm going to say is I tried to do this last year.
I saw the writing on the wall.
I told y'all so.
So either y'all going to give me this apology now, or y'all going to hear me talk trash about it when I leak it to the...
Facts.
Yo, GM's got to be the biggest leakers.
Atlanta's interesting.
Man, I think Atlanta's having the problem we kind of foresaw 2 years ago.
Which is what?
Too many wings.
Too many bodies.
Too many bodies.
I think we said it like a year and a half ago, yeah.
And these bodies all can play. Like, I think all these bodies can play. I think Hurt is solid.
Yeah. Bogdanovich is
Hunter solid. Bogdanovich is solid. Cam Reddish
is trying to take a step forward.
Cam Reddish to OKC. I'm campaigning now. Cam Reddish to OKC. Give my man Shay.
Cam link up.
Shay and Cam will tear up 6 years from now.
I was like, yeah.
Josh Giddey.
They for sure going to tear up that Tim seed. You right.
Like, we will be a problem in 4 years. Like, really would.
When middle schoolers that y'all about to draft develop?
Fam. We about to go dumb with them.
Holmgren, baby.
We about to go dumb with them little kids.
One of the draft picks got to be one of our friends. I know one of those draft picks. All rip. We set for life.
So
I don't know which one of them.
But yeah, I think it's time for them to make decisions on who's going to be in that core because they've been kind of teetering on what that core looks like due to a lot of reasons, COVID, injuries, all that in the third. So they're still trying to figure out what is the core and who belongs here for the long haul. John Collins is John Collins. He has not improved essentially since he's gotten his check. He is just John Collins.
I don't think he's going to, and I don't think he's able to in this offense.
It is what it is at this point.
Like, so, what is John Collins supposed to do other than rim running?
Catch lobs.
No, that's fair.
That's the offense.
Yeah.
So
he ain't doing bad. He's doing the job.
So yeah, I think that's what it is for them. It's just
he's shooting 42% from three too.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at that man.
Too many cooks in the kitchen right now for that team at this point. And so they gotta figure out. They got to thin out their roster. You normally never hear that, but it's just based off what they do as a team.
I mean,
so
you need wings. Like, either one or two things is going to happen. Either you're going to really lean into Trae Young just being this ball dominant pick and roll point guard, which I think would kind of be a mistake, or you're going to give your wings more control. I think that's the other issue here is, like, guys like Bogdanovich can run the offense, Cam Reddish can run the offense, yeah, but they don't really feel comfortable doing it next to Trae Young because Trae Young isn't that type of player. He's not good technically off the ball. So it leads to this clash where, yeah, we probably should let Cam Reddish get more touches, but Trae Young's got to run his pick and rolls. That's the only way he's effective. Same thing with Bogdanovich. Even Werder can run the offense a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's this weird dynamic. So do you ship out these wings and bring in just more 3-and-D guys who just play defense for Trae Young because Trae Young's still a bad defender and just support Trae Young on offense by being spot-up shooters, kind of like what Memphis has done with Ja Morant to an extent with Desmond Bane and Dylan Brooks? Or do you just
ride the wave?
Or do you just take the ball out of Trae Young's hands a little bit more and make – and kind of use Trae Young more like a Steph Curry? Like, there's like, it's a fine dynamic. Like,
it's really hard to say.
I think they have to make a decision.
It's hard to say about Trae Young's success off the ball.
Facts.
Like, not permanently.
I don't know either.
Even like raising it up.
But here's the thing about it. I don't know if you can win a championship with
him on the ball dominating. I understand that too.
Okay. Okay. So let's say this because I think personally, Even if they do change the system, right?
Yeah.
Even they change the system, they say, you know what, let's get our guy Trae off the ball a little bit. Let's let him work without it, let him move, you know, a little more dynamic of an offense. There's still too many people here.
I agree with that.
Like Bogdanovich, Herter, Cam, Hunter, all shown ability to be like, you know what? I got the ball in my hands a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the problem. And then they're all around the same age. It isn't like an Iggy situation where a guy's comfortable being on the bench. Cam was just in a game.
-25.
Cam was just in a game. I think by himself, he ran the one pretty much the entire game. Was that Christmas Day too?
Was it Christmas Day?
It was either Christmas
Day. Trae didn't play Christmas Day, so it might have been.
It might have been Christmas Day. Yeah, he was going dumb. Like, actually, he was going crazy with the run. Yeah.
So the last time I saw the Hawks play.
So I think that's kind of the situation where we got to look at them and be like, you know what? It hurts because we got all these guys. We made all these good picks. But now at some point, like, signed all these right guys. But
I'm just saying, push the chips into the table and go get you another superstar.
Yeah. That's the option. The third option is just trade everybody for and try to go get another
star.
That's
the thing about it. They have so many options, they don't need to trade everybody.
You don't gotta trade everybody, but I would just go after another star because, like, to be completely honest, I don't see, like, off the ball trade, that sounds nasty. Even increasing it. Like, I don't see his effectiveness.
Like, I think that should be a natural progression for almost every superstar almost. Like,
because it's easier to get your
it makes it easier for you to get yours, and it makes the team better. Like, in almost 99% of situations,
makes sense. I'm scared to see that from Trae. Maybe because I was just looking at Trae, and I'm like, yo, you're not the Steph size.
But
you're not.
I don't think he needs to be. I think if he would just, like I said, learn how to move without the ball. Like I said, learn how to use a screen, use an off-ball screen every now and then. Like,
so he's a star. Like I said, the stars are going to figure it out. So we're going to see more of him off the ball. I don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to have to come eventually.
That's fair.
I just know if I saw it today, it was going to be nasty. That's why I made that face.
That's fair. I'm just trying to think. I don't know. I'm really just thinking, like, who could they push their chips into the table to get that would make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to think on that.
I don't know.
We'll have to think on it. Moving on, health and safety protocols. This has been the phrase.
Skip the Lakers.
I mean, it is what it. Do we really want to talk about it?
I'm just messing with you.
I mean, it's y'all team.
We suck. All right. Okay. I don't know what else y'all want me to say.
I was on track. Both of our predictions were actually on track the first 20 games.
I believe.
And then it went downhill quick. Because
they were 500. They were about
520 games in. We're good. And then AD went down, and it was like, this is about to get bad. This is going to get bad. We're bad. This is the point blank simple. We're celebrating beating teams like Houston. I'm sorry.
That's disgusting. Nah. You know when they got hype and Kobe was on like Letterman or some late night show and Nick Young after we had a 7-game losing streak and they won one game? Disgusting.
Like,
we beat Houston.
We're bad.
Whoopee.
And I'm sorry. Yes, Vogel hasn't been perfect, but please stop blaming Vogel for everything. This ain't Vogel's fault.
This is not Vogel's fault.
Russ be looking lost, bro. Bruh. Love him too, but you're like you're
we know what Melo Russ Melo be. Looks lost on every pick and roll coverage.
Defense is just an option at this point.
Like I keep saying, you can give a 5-star chef the worst ingredients. Don't expect a 5-star meal. Like, really that simple. He does not have the pieces he needs to do what he wants to do. What are y'all expecting to happen here?
I ain't blaming Vogel.
Health and safety protocols, man. This has been a phrase for quite some time.
Years. years. It's been a phrase for years.
Yeah, oh, man.
Interesting.
This is life now.
This might be. This very well might be, man. According to NBA, in the first 6 weeks of the season, 16 players were placed into the league's COVID health safety and health and safety protocols. That number has skyrocketed since then due to the big surge, of course, of all the variants and things of that nature. And so due to those things, the NBA and the NBA Players Association have agreed on a new protocol that would allow COVID-positive players to clear isolation after 5 days. Now, this is from Woj, ESPN, so this ain't coming from me. It's coming from Woj. If y'all got, you want to find it, go find it on Twitter. You know, y'all know how Woj get down. But this has been the thing. I mean, we've seen postponements. We've seen complete roster overhauls. IT has returned. Lance Stevenson has returned. Chris Chioza.
Mario Chalmers.
Mario Chalmers is back on the roster.
He's on the Heat. He's on the Heat.
what the heck? You're lying.
I'm so serious.
He's got signed the other day to a 10-day.
Yeah, he played. I think he played the other night.
What? Oh, I don't know. I didn't watch the game.
Yo, this is the league. So, I saw a big stat line from Greg Monroe.
Big shout out Joe Johnson. He had came. I don't know. He said the name.
Joe Johnson. Yeah. Joe Johnson is back. Like
everybody gets that farewell tour.
So we're seeing
facts.
So we're seeing a lot of these guys make a return. At least for a 10-day. And what's your reaction to all of this? The changes? I mean, what is this?
Well, somebody told me that the CDC just said, like, you can drink some ginger ale and take an Epsom salt bath and you're straight. Like, they don't care no more. Like, well, let's, in all seriousness, because we've been saying this for a couple of years on the spot, realistically, there shouldn't be basketball. We've said this for a really long time in terms of a global pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we're outside of that, we're looking at all this and we have to understand why they're doing it. They're not going to shut down the season again, regardless of how bad it gets. They're not going to really change or affect much that's going to like impact the bottom line or the money. So
yeah,
you're going to bring in a whole lot of these guys. So I'm going to move off really of the COVID stuff because I think at this point we understand, at least everybody on this couch, if y'all have something to say about them doing this with COVID and what that means, I guess, but we understand they don't care. Or at least I'm going to say they don't care as much as they should. But the players coming back makes me really happy because a lot of these players I thought left the league just a little too soon. Like, I would have just liked to see them be a vet on one last team and, you know, be able to retire. But it was like COVID happened, we ain't see y'all, period. Like, y'all didn't get picked back up on teams or, like, right before that if y'all were free agents or something like that. So, I think it's interesting to see. A lot of people were surprised that, like, these guys still have, like, game or something like that. But I'm like, Joe Johnson is Joe Johnson. It's not about, like, scoring. It's about being able to get up and down the court in a healthy manner when you're getting to your late 30s and 40s and et cetera. It's weird and refreshing, but it gives us those moments that we just had. Like, Mario Chalmers is back in the league. Like,
yeah.
But other than that, it's sad.
I mean, I'll say this. I'll start with this. Just because.
That's a nice way to say this.
The rules shouldn't have changed. All right, like let's.
Hey, there's no real. They're following nice CDC way. Guidelines. It don't get no more official than that.
Oh no,
and those shouldn't CDC have changed.
Should have changed. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Now, I'm not a scientist. I can't. Who am I to tell you? Who am I to tell you what science says? Okay, because look, I didn't even take a math in college. Like. I am not the guy.
How'd you do that?
Don't judge me.
My God.
Don't judge me.
Whoa.
Don't judge me. My degree
Geneva.
My degree is valid. I paid for it.
No, I just want to know how.
Yes, it sounds like you paid for it.
So, I'm not the one to say what science is and what science does.
Fair.
But I do know common sense.
Yes.
I do know common sense. A common sense says, hey, there is a virus that's airborne that anyone can contract, whether you've gotten vaccinations, anything out there. That still exists. Now there's variants, and the variants are just as dangerous as the first one. But we're going to lower quarantine stages.
Things get worse, so we go more lenient.
Imagine a world where, hey, oh, I guess that is America. You commit a crime, and certain people, what, you know, you should do maybe life. You should do 20 to life. Probation. this is what we kind of into right now. And so that's where I'm kind of confused. And
you're confused because America's being America. And it was right. always confusing. It was always
right.
Stupid.
And so it's like, yeah. But I thought y'all cared about yourselves. Like, I mean, maybe you didn't care about me, but I thought you cared about yourselves. And but you know,
have
it
you
is
seen
what
Don't
it is.
Look Up yet?
I have seen Don't Look Up. I love that movie.
Is
it good? It is really good. It is.
Shout out Meryl Streep.
Shout out Meryl Streep. She was.
I'll give it a
Jonah Hill. It's a lot.
Jonah Hill, yeah. All
right,
Jonah Hill.
She's going to come back. Nah. She's going to come back, right? That line?
He ain't see it. You'll see it.
Leave me alone. But yeah, so I think that's what it is for me at this point. I think the NBA, while they are following CDC guidelines, NFL done the same thing, I believe. Like, they lowered theirs as well. Like, Carson Wentz is back on the field today. So, I mean, I'm like, it's cool. I mean, I get y'all following CDC, but at the same time, maybe the NBA should act independently in certain things and be like, you know what, wait a minute. Like, we've had a lot of players be out. And it isn't at the part of the season where you feel like, oh, we need these guys back on the court. Like, this isn't the playoffs. Like, this isn't a pressing moment in the season. This is about midway. We haven't really got to the All-Star game yet. Like, we got time. Now, the NFL does not. Like, the playoffs are around the corner. QBs are missing. Football looks bad when you're playing second and third stringers at the QB position. Maybe nowhere else, but at QB for sure. No one wants to see ducks in the air. Like, I get that. But the NBA, like you mentioned, there's a lot of competent guys who can play basketball in this stage of the league. And we also get to see some guys pop in where you're like, oh, I missed him. Where he's been? Or guys we haven't heard of where it's like, oh, shoot. He might be able to stay around here. Like, Stanley Johnson might be able to stay on a roster.
Shout out Stanley Johnson.
Like, he might be able to stay on a roster.
Looking like you actually care about basketball on the Lakers. I love it.
Like he looked like he could be
in the league for a little bit.
He could be on a roster. So, I think those are kind of things that I would have wished the NBA would have done. But
facts.
It is what it is at this point. Like,
at this point, we see what it is. That's why I didn't have too many words on it. Like, it ain't but so much to say.
Yeah. I ain't got nothing. Like, the NBA is just, they trying to make their money right now. They recognize they can't afford to stop for whatever reason. So they're just going to keep on trucking.
Do y'all think they picked Cleveland as an all-star site because they knew
nobody was going to get lit in Cleveland?
Yeah. Now, if that was the case, they would have picked Utah.
Nah, nobody.
They would pick Utah. Nobody. There's a reason Utah has literally had like one person out.
Fair.
There's nothing to do in Utah.
Like, if somebody tell me like, oh, you made an all-star roster, yes, straight, it's gonna be in Utah. Ooh, man, my hammy. Like, I might as well just miss that game.
I think that's what
I might show up for Cleveland.
I think there was the thing of like, hey, let's just have it in Cleveland. They get one, and This is no hate to Cleveland, and they get one. But
and
like,
you just will not leave Cleveland alone.
Cleveland straight. It's hate to Utah for me, but no.
What I say?
I can hate Utah. Shout out Cleveland to a certain extent, at least for getting this All-Star game.
That's what I meant.
I'll go to Cleveland for an All-Star game.
They
wouldn't go to Utah like Salt Lake City for an All-Star game. That was my point.
They not. All I'm saying is Cleveland not getting one if there's no pandemic.
No, I ain't going that far.
I mean, eventually. Maybe not this year.
Shout outs. Let's get out of here.
Do we really want to talk about Jalen Green and the Rockets right now?
KBJ, let's have attitudes on the court too, bro. I got to see it. Don't just have it all in the locker room. Entertain me if you're going to wild out.
First off, shout out to Sam Jones.
Yeah.
One of the greatest Boston Celtics of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Passed away, age 88. Part of that legendary Bill Russell run.
Yep.
Think Sam Jones, you know, I don't know if he had 11 titles. I think he had 10.
I think he had 10.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you were there for pretty much all of it, dude. So, shout out to Sam Jones. Will be missed.
Betty White, historic figure in entertainment. I guess this is technically entertainment. So,
fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out Betty White. But I don't think there's any more death shout outs because I don't like those. Those are really sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Jalen Green returned, man. He returned and he's been playing really, really well. 22 points, 48% from the field, 51% from three, 87% from the line in four games since he's been back. So I wanted to highlight that. No, if we want to talk about Houston a little bit, I mean, that's on y'all.
If we're going to shout out the rookie, shout out to Franz Wagner. That boy is hooping.
No, no, he's balling.
Yeah, shout
he's
out to
balling.
Him too.
He's balling.
Nah, the rookies have taken a little.
I like this class a
me
lot.
Me too. Like
a lot. Like,
I like it too, man.
I like this class.
Jalen Green came out hooping. Kate Cunningham was doing what Kate Cunningham was doing.
Scotty Barnes.
Yeah, Wag been hooping, yo. He hit that Euro step on Giannis. I was like, woo, look at you move your feet.
Wagner is that's a bad white boy.
Yeah, he's fun. Man. I like watching him hoop.
He's a fun dude. So
this rookie class is actually really solid.
Mm-hmm.
But
Houston is
Houston's
fire sale?
Fire sale what?
Somebody will take Christian Wood. Christian Wood's a really good NBA big.
Christian Wood can play.
KPJ might be
still got Eric Gordon, who's a good NBA vet.
For sure. Eric Gordon, yeah.
But after that, like, this team is what it is. It's a basement team with young guys for the most part.
They're tanking. We all knew that.
With young guys.
Still
I mean,
can't even figure out how to get rid of John Wall.
Right.
There is
like,
no way to get rid of him. Other than trading for Russell Westbrook.
Like, there's no way. Apples to apples. I mean, like.
John Wall would love that.
He would
love
that.
John Wall would love that.
I actually think John Wall would be a better fit for the Lakers. But anyway.
That ain't saying too much.
Look, man. We're not going to do that today.
Yeah, I'm about to say that's
not
going to
do that today. We do not have another hour in it. Apples to apples. And I'll leave it at that. But, yeah, I mean, Houston is what Houston is right now. And so, Jalen, just get your numbers, me. I mean.
Stats.
Get your numbers.
Stats, man.
He's throwing them up. That's for sure.
So,
chase those
I like Sengun on that team, too.
I do like
Sengun. I like him. When I saw him, I first watched him play in the Summer League. And I was like, wow, man, he has a smooth game.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his. I just feel bad. For Silas, because, like, dang, your first season, you
came here expecting James Harden.
I'm not even gonna go that far. I'm not even gonna go that far.
The
like,
first season after
even,
that,
even if that's the case, like even if Russ and Harden are out, you're no longer a playoff team. You're in a situation where, once again, I don't like when teams don't have a direction. Houston doesn't look they have a direction right now. And so you put a head coach, a young new head coach, in a position where the front office or the execs don't have a direction, and now you playing with his record. His record is getting played with.
They have a direction. They're tanking. Like, that's the direction. You have young guys. You're letting them play through their mistakes. You're tanking, trying to find your superstar.
Yeah, 1 year post.
Now, is that a good position for Silas to be in?
I don't agree with that all the way. Yes, there are young guys. There are some young guys here who are playing through their mistakes. Jalen Green, Sengun, all that in the third.
The guys you're
Kevin
planning
Porter
on
Jr.
keeping.
Huh?
Kevin Porter Jr. falls into that category.
Kevin Porter Jr., even if those four guys fall into that category, you still have other guys on this team where it's like, nah, I want to be in better positions. I want to be in better situations. Eric Gordon's been wanting out forever.
You have two.
Christian Wood's been wanting out forever. And,
it's two guys.
And even if that's the case, we're looking at a situation where I'm like, yo, let these guys go. Free these guys. They don't have to be on this mob.
Free the guys.
I mean, outside of Eric Gordon, like, guys. Christian Wood is 26. Like,
26? I mean,
by the prime.
And, like, he came there of his own volition. Like, you signed the contract, dude.
Even, but
he
I didn't.
Got paid.
But I didn't. I knew.
I see what you mean.
You see what I mean?
I see what
you mean.
Like,
I'm just like, I think they
I don't
have
feel
a
bad for him. Don't get me wrong. Like, Christian I just think they have a direction. Like,
it's not necessarily
Eric Gordon. I kind of do.
I don't feel bad in terms of the players getting money to play a game.
The playing style, them being there. Like, Christian Wood, you did sign in Houston. You did pop in Houston. If you demanded to be out right now, like, I'm cool with you waiting. Eric Gordon, I'm feeling sad for you because you produced. You always produced. You got left here. So I kind of like, yo.
Shoot.
I'd rather dish out Eric Gordon, like let's see where you're going to go. I don't feel bad for Christian Wood staying in Houston if he gets stuck in Houston. But I would like for him to get traded for Houston's, like, benefit.
I look at it like Silas deserved a situation where the front office had an understanding of what they wanted to do with him and how they wanted to do it. Everything shifted after he signed. After he signed, everything shifted under his feet. And now you're left
with,
like,
their true colors.
And now I was like, oh, shoot.
Took off the makeup.
I only feel bad for Silas in that aspect if the front office is expecting something that they shouldn't. Like, if the front office recognizes.
It was like, yo, you need to be in the playoffs by next
year. But that's the thing. And I don't want to sound like a Stephen A. But that's the thing that happens to coaches where.
Very much so.
Where, like, oh, shoot, you've been here and the team hasn't been playing well. Well, no, y'all said we're tanking. And so I got these young guys out there. They're just running up and down the court. I'm trying to give them things.
I'm trying to teach. Like, I'm trying to teach young guys how to win in the NBA, which is a very difficult task to do.
With no other true veterans around outside of a Eric Gordon. Like,
exactly.
Like, who – that's probably the only guy on this roster who has experienced some level of winning.
They got, like – so, they got DJ Augustine on the back of the bench. Like, that's pretty much it.
So
Daniel Tice.
Right. So these are supposed to be your vets. These supposed to be your mentors. Man, I mean, they're good guys. I'm not trying to hate, but it ain't the same.
I feel you.
And then you're gonna come back and then you start building a team back together. Now you're looking at me again. You're looking at what's the first thing y'all look at? Win loss column. Oh, well, your win loss column says
that's always the coach that gets fired right before they actually get good too. Like, stuck through four horrible years, and they finally.
Yep.
Your record's 30-80. Now you go get another guy to come in.
He walks in and they make the playoffs that first year.
And you do what I could have done. Like, this isn't a Mark Jackson, Steve Kerr situation. Oh, like, no, Mark Jackson was like, oh, you can. We see what you've done. They've improved, but at the same time.
Mark Jackson can coach.
You can.
And we've seen. And I'm not saying Silas can't. What I'm trying to say is, like, I'll get what you're going with the progression of. The transition.
We saw, like, oh, Mark Jackson elevated the team to this stance. Oh, you should tweak this one thing, Mark, but he didn't want to. He was steadfast on it. All right, if you don't want to, we're going to go get the guy that's going to innovate and elevate us to the next level. I don't feel like that's what's going to happen with him. I feel like it's like, hey,
thanks for suffering with us. Now it's time to get you out of here.
Time to get you out of here when we get some real guys.
As soon as we're about to make that actual step forward into progression,
he's gonna be back as somebody else's assistant.
To lose. Yeah, and I hope it's not like that. I hope it's not like that. I'm rooting for him.
And so,
because I like Silas, but, like, you know.
So I think that's my only concern about Houston. Like, Jalen Green's gonna be fine. Kevin Porter Jr. is gonna be fine. Like, those guys, like, they're not going nowhere.
Shout out Kevin Porter Jr. though. I'm all good for a good locker room antic.
Yeah, I don't know what was said to him, but apparently he teed.
Apparently,
three players off.
Wild because I mean, Christian Wood refused to go back in the game,
and it wasn't Silas. It was
John Lucas. It was
John Lucas has been, like, a very well respected guy in the league for a long time.
That's what I was confused about.
So, and reportedly, it was he questioned their effort. Like,
oh man,
he went at him about.
So you question a man's effort. So instead of responding with more effort, you leave in the middle of your job and just go home, and the other person refuses to check in the game. You're just validating what I said. If that is the case,
ain't about what you said, it's how you said it. So that's the thing. Like,
if you played sports your whole life, you've heard, listen to what they say, not how they say it.
Doesn't
I don't
mean
care,
it was
bro.
Right.
This is a different generation. That's what I'm gonna say.
I've had coaches say things to me. Granted, yes. Did it make me not play? Yes.
How long ago was that?
Right to say?
How long ago was that?
I can go even now, Greg, in the last 4 years. I can go in the last 4 years. I've heard coaches say things that they shouldn't say. Now, granted, some people respond. Some people don't. Are kids more likely to shut down now more than ever? I agree. Yes,
all right, that's all I'm saying.
But
that's
I'm
all
saying.
There's
even
a
back,
line, but
I'm
I don't think John Lucas crossed that line. That's what I'm banking on.
And you know what? I would probably lean your way. I'm just saying it ain't about
I'm
what
just
you say
on
sometimes.
John Lucas.
It's how you
that
say
That is
it.
Fair, too. Like, then I would just say toughen up.
Fair.
I'll look everybody in the face and be like, yo, toughen up. Because if it wasn't wild enough for you to put your hands on him, why is it wild enough for you to leave Kevin Porter threw something at him.
They said Kevin Porter threw something at him. So.
And then you leave your job and you don't check back in? Like, if somebody says something to me that wild that they're going to get that response out of me, I'm going to have to check them in a different way.
The crazy thing is KPJ is already floating on somewhat of thin ice.
Because the Cleveland situation. Because
the Cleveland situation. Like, so you...
Looks like it's you, KPJ, not John Lucas.
Right. And so, I think KPJ is talented.
Extremely talented.
But you ain't that talented. Like, no, you're not.
This is supposed to be the blow up year. My man averaging 12 points.
Shooting horribly.
You ain't that talented. Like, we know what you're capable of.
You got the tools, for sure. And I'll let all of them go because you give me a headache.
Facts.
And I can't even say you're wrong in this situation because I don't know what happened, but
yeah,
everybody's going to look at you with like you already got a strike against you, bro.
Facts.
Christian Wood, I have no idea why you didn't check back in. I would love to hear what was said. That's the interesting part, is that somebody else took place in being upset.
Yeah. I don't know.
But then again, Christian Wood, I heard you was tripping the last couple of weeks, too, so.
Losing makes you do crazy things, I guess.
That is fair. That is extremely fair.
Then
stop losing. Play harder. That's the only cure to losing is winning.
Fact. Let's get out of here, y'all, man. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. If y'all enjoyed the show, y'all know what to do. Like, subscribe, comment on the video. If you're listening on any audio platform, Apple, Spotify, you name it, go ahead, rate the show 5 stars, 4 stars, anything below that, you can keep that. Because like my mama say, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. Man, we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. We're going to be back all 2022. We're going to do our best to do so. Yeah, man. Love y'all. Thank y'all. As always, eat, sleep, breathe the game. We love you. Be safe. We out.